Greetings to all of you in Jesus' precious name this morning. I've enjoyed this service very much. The devotional thoughts that have been shared have been leading up to our subject that you all assigned me for this morning. You may open your Bibles to Luke chapter 12, verse 1. We find the verse that is in focus this morning. The title of the message is Beware of the Leaven of Hypocrisy. In Luke chapter 12, verse 1, Jesus said this. There was a large crowd of people gathered around, and the disciples were there. And Jesus was warning in the prior chapter about Phariseeism. And in verse 1 of chapter 12, he says, in the meantime, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon the other, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, he was speaking first of all to the disciples, but I believe the crowd heard him as well. And he said this, he made this statement, he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Then he goes on in verse 2 and 3 and he says, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever shall be spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which is spoken in the ears in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Why did Jesus go on to say and remind his disciples and those that were listening, and the message is to us this morning as well, why does Jesus remind us that there is nothing that is not going to be sometime exposed, as it were, brought out in the open? There isn't anything that your voice uttered that will not be known to people. What was uttered in the closets is going to come out. You young folks, young boys here on the front bench, have you ever been tempted to hide something? Has anything ever happened that, well, maybe brought some embarrassment to you and you started to downplay and, no, I didn't do that, or I didn't say that, or this is what I meant, I wanted to, and you start excusing yourself and, you know, it kind of starts going undercover. Were you ever tempted to do that, or did you ever do that? I believe the real answer is yes. I see a few of you nodding your head. You know why you done that? You done that because your parents done that. You're a product of your parents. You see, Jesus was saying here that even the Pharisees, who were the Pharisees? The Pharisees were supposed to be the leaders. They were supposed to be the ones that told other people what to do and knew what the law was, and they were supposed to be the ones that were leading and setting the example for others. And Jesus was indicating, at least, that, well, he did say, he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. See, my point is this morning, before we get into this message, we have the human nature. And last night our brother reminded us that we have an enemy of the soul that wants to destroy us. And that enemy is real. And that enemy is working in every one of our hearts. He wants us to our brother said last night, he wants to destroy us. And that's what he wants to do. But one of the ways that he wants us to be destroyed is by when we pretend to be things that we are not. When we pretend to be something we are not. See, that's what the Pharisees were doing. That's what the Sadducees were doing. And Jesus rebuked them. And that's what our subject is this morning. I want you young people to understand what hypocrisy is. Hypocrisy is really pretending to be something that we aren't, or something that we don't even have any intention of being. It's this thing of covering up and making other people, you know, there's something in my heart this morning. that wants everybody to think well of me. We want people to think good of us. We want people to look at us and think that we have our act put together. Should I say it that way? We want people to think well of us in whatever ways. It's a temptation that is built into all of us. And what happens, because that is there, it's a part of our nature, we tend to sometimes start acting, put on a front, we pretend, we say things that we wouldn't have said because we want people to think well of us. And Jesus said, this is hypocrisy. Its roots are in pride, is what it is. It's because we have this proud heart. Our heart is exceedingly sinful. The Bible says, who can know it? And so sometimes we think, well, we'd never act in this way. We would not get involved in hypocrisy. But you know what? It's something that is so close to every one of us. And I believe that's why, I don't know who decided, maybe you had a committee that decided this all-day meeting, but whoever sat down and said, you know what, because we are human beings and because this is a temptation to all of us, we need to hear some preaching, some teaching on this. And so that's what we want to do this morning. We want to look into God's Word. The warning here that Jesus gave was to the Pharisees, and he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. In this case with the Pharisees, it was trying to appear good and very interested in religious matters. They knew the law and they were interested in religious things. But in reality, their interest was more about themselves than it was about God. They really did not care so much about the things of God. Or they were concerned more about, like I said, what people thought about them than what pleased God and what God thought about them. And it's the same for us. Whenever we get to the place in our experience and in our lives and we start doing things because we want the praise of men, and that becomes our concern more than the praise of God and what pleases God in our lives and what God wants us to be doing, we then too are not different than these Pharisees were. And so that's introducing to you what hypocrisy is. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Now, there's another word in here. It says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Now, what is leaven? Well, if you know anything about cooking, or you watch your mom when she bakes, our wives, our sisters know what leaven is. They use a baking powder sometimes, or a yeast. And what it does in bread or in dough or in batter, it modifies, it lightens up, it makes it expand and fluffs it up. You know how a loaf of bread gets bigger when they bake bread, and it rises before they bake it. It gets big, it's modified, it fluffs up, it gets, and that's, Jesus says, this is what the leaven of the Pharisees did. Because they were hypocrites, they were poor examples to other people. As people watched, it spread, and it blew up, and it got bigger. So we have this idea that this proud spirit, this hypocrisy, gets modified, it gets puffed up, it gets made light of in the minds of people. You see, that can happen to us. We can get to the place where maybe we do try to hide some things. We try to cover some things up. And then we tell ourselves, well, it wasn't so bad. It's not so bad. And it does, it's leaven, because we start making ourselves believe what is not true, because in the eyes of God, it does matter. God hates a proud spirit. He hates hypocrisy. He hates when people think more of themselves than they do of him. So I like to ask the question this morning, how does it happen? Well, first of all, let's look how it happened with the Pharisees. So what did happen with the Pharisees? We go back to chapter 11, of Luke. And I'd like to go back to verse 33, really. This is prior to what Jesus was telling them they were doing. But I want to bring verse 33 and verse 34 into focus. In verse 33, Jesus said this: "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it may give light, that they which come in may see the light." And then he says that the light of the body is the eye. "Therefore, if thine eye be single, thy whole body is full of light. But when the eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness." In verse 34, Jesus is saying that this light of the body is the eye. We know that the light that we have in us is because of Jesus, right? It's Jesus is the light. "I am the way, the truth, and the life," he says, and that's the light that lights us. Now, this thought of the eye, that represents spiritual understanding and insight. And the reason I bring this verse into focus is because I want to remind us this morning that when we have evil desires, when we start living the life of hypocrisy, evil desires make our eyes less sensitive, is what it does. And they blot out the light of Christ's presence. And that's why hypocrisy becomes leaven to us, because then when that happens, there is no limitation where we go with our proud spirit. And it fluffs up. It branches out like leaven. Underneath all our hypocrisy is idolatry as well. I already said that when we think more of ourselves than we do of God, what we're doing then is we're replacing God with us. And we're starting to worship ourselves instead of worshiping. Our focus should be on God, and it's not. When we start worshiping some desire, that is any desire. Actually, our brother read from the Ten Commandments this morning, and anything that we set in front of us that gets our attention more than God becomes an idol to us, is what he said. Well, that's what I'm saying. When we desire something greater than God, and we want to worship that desire while looking like we are really worshiping God, you know, we want people to think well of us, so we try to make it look like we're worshiping God. That really is the heart of hypocrisy. That's the heart of what we're going to look at this morning. Now, I said, let's go back to Luke 11. I'd like for us to notice some things from Luke 11 that Jesus said about the Pharisees. First of all, let's look at verse 40 and verse 42. He says, "Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without also make that which is within also?" What Jesus was saying here is, did not I create you? I made you. And did I not make a heart in you? What Jesus was saying is that I want your heart. In verse 41 he says, "But rather give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe and mint and root and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These things ought ye to have done, and not leave the other undone." Jesus was telling them that they cover up their corrupt lives by making it appear like they're giving a lot of good things to other people and to God. They're sacrificing, they're giving the things that they were blessed with away, and they're helping other people, and they're doing all this. But underneath, Jesus was looking at their heart, and he said, "Your heart is far from me." They were covering up their real corruption by making it look good on the outside, is what they were doing. While tithing is important, while giving is important, those things are important, our compassion must not stop there. In other words, our giving doesn't stop there. We must have We must have a heart for other people, a real heart. It's right to reach out to other people and help other people. Jesus put a lot of emphasis on relationships. And last night we talked about young people and their relationships. God wants us all to have good relationships, to be compassionate, to reach out. But here they were reaching out with the material things, and their hearts were far from them. Well, God was saying, why don't you clean up your heart? Why don't you make right what's on the inside? Why don't you clean up your heart and worship me and give to me what I want? And then your heart's also going to be moved to do the things that you're doing. And that's what he wants. He wants us to do both of these things. So we come to verse 44 then, and here Jesus said, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, and he calls them hypocrites. He uses some real straightforward language. For ye are as graves which appear not. Graves that appear not, we know what graves are, places where people are buried, they're covered over. He said, you are like a grave that doesn't appear, and And the men that walk over them are not aware of them. They don't know that they're there. People around you don't know that you're like a grave. Now, why did Jesus use this analogy? The Old Testament law said that a person who came in contact with a dead person, a dead body, or a grave was unclean. It was considered to be unclean. We have that in Numbers talks about that. And they were given direction how to clean themselves up and not defile other people with that uncleanness. Jesus is talking, he's relating back to that. He's accusing the Pharisees of making others unclean by their spiritual rottenness, I'll call it, by what wasn't right on the inside. He said they were like these graves that were hidden in the field. And they corrupted everybody else that came in contact with them. It's the leaven of the Pharisees. This is how their hypocrisy was like leaven, like it was puffing up, like it was making other people fall into the same traps. Then in verse 42, Jesus says this, there was another group of people, they were Pharisees as well, but they were the lawyers. He said, woe also, ye lawyers, for ye late men with burdens grievous to be borne, and with yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe unto you, for ye built sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Here Jesus was saying that the lawyers, they were the ones who were making the laws. They were the ones who were enforcing details. They were the ones, well, what they were doing. So Jesus had given them the law. We know that they had the Old Testament law that was given to them, and they were enforcing that. But at this time, what they were doing, they were adding to the law. They were adding other small details to the law, and they had so many things that it was starting to become a burden to the people. You couldn't even remember all the law anymore, much less keep it all. And Jesus was saying that here were these people that were making these laws, putting them in place and enforcing them, but they themselves were not even keeping them. They were not even interested in keeping them. They wouldn't even lift a finger to do what they were forcing other people to do. And Jesus called them hypocrites because what they really were doing was worshiping and holding their own traditions, their own ideas, their own man-made rules, as it were. They were holding those closer to their own hearts and putting more stock and more emphasis in that than they were in serving God and being faithful and doing what God wanted them and worshiping God. You see, their worship again was not motivated by a love to God, but a desire for themselves to profit. And they were desiring to appear well and good and right among men. They wanted the appraise of men for the appearance of their holiness. They were looking for increased status is what they were doing. They wanted to be lifted up and be noticed and observed and thought well of. Comes back to this thing that I'm saying is built in each one of us. That tendency is there. Jesus said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from them. And that's what was making these people hypocrites. They were involved. They were involved in, it was a leaven of hypocrisy is what it was. And Jesus said in verse 2 and verse 3, I read those two verses because the future of hypocrisy is simply all going to be revealed sometime, is what Jesus was saying. We get involved in any kind of hypocrisy, we can be assured that it's only a matter of time until it's all going to be proclaimed across the housetops, as it were. I have five practical points that I'd like to share this morning. And for these practical points, I'd like to take us back to an Old Testament account. Turn with me back to Genesis chapter 37. I'm going to do this morning because I want us to realize how subtle this thing is. We can sit here as a group of people and we can say, well, we would never get involved in hypocrisy. We know that being a hypocrite is not right. We wouldn't do that. We can declare that we won't. But this thing is so close home to us. It's so subtle, and Satan has his way of making his inroads into our hearts and lives many times, just like he did in generations prior to us. I'd like for us to think about the story we have in Genesis chapter 37, where Joseph had came to his brothers when they were out in the field taking care of the sheep. His father had sent him out there. And we know that his brothers didn't like Joseph. You know that Joseph was despised. He was his dad's favorite son. His dad had made that coat of many colors for him, and we might say catered to Joseph more than he did to his brothers. And the brothers were out taking care of the sheep in a distant land away from home. And the day came when Joseph's dad told him, he said, you go out and you check in your brothers and see what they're doing. And so Joseph went off to do this errand to see how the brothers were making out. And the brothers were taking care of sheep, and they looked up, and here comes this despised younger brother of theirs, their dad's favorite son that they just despised. And right away they started this discussion, and they said, what are we going to do with him? And they had this discussion going on. And Reuben, one of the brothers, who was the oldest of the brothers and felt responsible, he overheard the discussion. And in verse 20 of chapter 37, in verse 19, and they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say, some evil beast has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And in verse 21, it tells us, and Reuben heard it. And I think Reuben started thinking about this right away. I don't want this to happen, so what can I do? And right away, Reuben responds, and he says, let us not kill him. It says that he said this because he wanted to deliver Joseph out of his brother's hands. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands. You see, Reuben he was forming a plan. What he was saying is, just put him down in this old well. Let's put him in this pit for now. And in his mind, he was saying, you know what, my brothers are going to move on with the sheep here after a while. And somehow I'm going to break away, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to deliver Joseph. I'll get him back out. And I don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us all this, but I imagine that he was thinking, you know, I'll just tell Joseph, we're all okay. You go back and you tell dad, and you just go back home, get on your way back home, and go mind your own business, you know. He had a plan, is what he was going to do. Well, verse 23 tells us, and it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren that they stripped Joseph of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him in the pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat, and then we know the story. I don't think I'm going to take the time to read it all. The Ishmaelites came along, they soaked Joseph, and Joseph, the Ishmaelites took him, they left. And the time came when his brothers moved on with the sheep, and Reuben comes back. Verse 29, and Reuben returned unto the pit. He comes back to put his plan in place. He wanted to deliver Joseph now. And behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he, what did he do? He rent his clothes. It says he rent his clothes, and he returned unto his brethren, and he said, this child, this Joseph, this child is not, he said, and I, whither shall I go? Catch that. The child is not, and what about me? And I, whither, what am I going to do? All of a sudden, Reuben was in panic mode, as it were. His plan had not worked out for him, and he knew he was responsible. That takes me to the first point I'd like to make this morning. Hypocrisy. What hypocrisy does, it deals with the problem of sin, or it deals with this proud spirit of ours by playing it down. That's why we are so tempted when we lift ourselves up, or when we do something that we know we shouldn't have, to play it down. Say, nah, well, it wasn't so bad, or no, I didn't do that, or whatever. Reuben done the very same thing. Reuben actually was more concerned about his own character than he was about the sin that had just happened, that had just taken place. And that is what hypocrisy does. Hypocrisy pays more attention to reputation than it does to character. Now let's think through that a little bit. So what is reputation? Our reputation is what people think you are. You all look at me, and I have a reputation. You have whatever you think of me. I don't know what that is, but that's my reputation. We all do that of people. Character is what we really are, who we really are. It's the things that you really maybe can't see in me, but God can see them. God looks into our hearts. It's what's really in our hearts. And so what was really in Reuben's heart here at this point was that he was more concerned that about himself and his responsibility. What's he going to do? What's he going to tell his dad? How's he going to handle this now? Then he was about the fact that Joseph was gone. He didn't know what was going to happen to Joseph. Yeah, at this point, they hadn't killed him, but they had sold him. In their hearts, they really had killed him, is what they had done. And God knew that. Notice verse 31. And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And we know what they did. We know the story. They sent it back to their dad, and they said some wild animal, some wild beast devoured him. This is what we found. This is where hypocrisy goes. Hypocrisy has people make decisions they never thought they would make. Because when you get caught up in hypocrisy and you have a reputation that you start building on, and you're worried about that reputation more than you are about this character thing, then you will do things to keep your reputation that you never thought you would do. It's the road of hypocrisy. In other words, a hypocrite, we're a hypocrite when we get involved in this. And a hypocrite will go to great lengths to cover their sin. And this is exactly what was happening. These brothers never thought that they would do this probably, but this is what they did. And I want you to notice what happens in verse 31, and then we get down to verse 35. Let me say this before we focus on that point. Getting back to this thought of the hypocrite going to great length, you see what hypocrisy does is that it does not understand the seriousness and the pervasiveness sin is. In other words, pervasiveness means how it infiltrates us, it goes through us, it fills us all up. It's the leaven of hypocrisy is what it is. It does the same thing yeast does. It blows it up, it puffs it out, it makes it bigger, and it filters through us and it is ingrained in us and becomes a sin that is really, really hard to break when we allow this to happen. Well, getting back to my idea of it takes us to great length, this next thing that hypocrisy does that I see in this story then is that hypocrisy tries to keep one's appearance while the private life is corrupt. And I already alluded to that, but look at verse 35. So here they sent the coat back to Jacob. And in verse 34, it tells us that Jacob rent his clothes and put on sackcloth. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. Can you imagine what was taking place here? The boys were now all back home around their father, having made him believe that Joseph was dead. Here's the evidence. Here's the coat dipped in blood. Joseph's gone. They knew he was sold to the Ishmaelites. They probably didn't know exactly where he was, but they knew that they probably didn't know he was dead, I should say. They probably didn't know exactly what was going on. But they gathered around to comfort their father. What a sad story. It tells us that the father would not be comforted. He was so sad about what happened to his son. And he went down into the grave mourning, thus his father wept for him. Well, we go back to Matthew chapter 23 and verse 25 and verse 26. Jesus said this to the Pharisees. He said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup of the and of the platter, but within are full of extortion and excess. Cleanse first that which is without, within the cup and the platter, and the outside of them may be clean also." I went to these verses because we have two words here. We have extortion and excess. The word extortion simply means greed. That's exactly what these brothers were involved in. They were greedy brothers. They cared about themselves. They didn't care about their brothers. They cared about their own reputation. And they went to these measures to do this. And the Pharisees were doing the same thing, Jesus said, is what they were doing. It also means that people indulge in their own lusts, their own pride, their own heart. Self-indulgence takes us down the road of hypocrisy, is what it does. We start worshiping ourselves instead of worshiping the Lord God. So hypocrisy tries to keep up a good reputation when one is corrupt on the inside. Thirdly, hypocrisy desires that we emphasize our own virtues but looks down on the faults of others so many times. Let's go back to Luke chapter 18. Jesus talked about this very thing as well. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 10, we have a very familiar account of two men. It says that two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. But God, here's what I do. I fast twice a week. I give tithe of all that I possess. That was the Pharisee's prayer. God, I am so thankful that I'm not as corrupt as what these other people are around me. This is what hypocrisy does to us. If we allow ourselves to get lifted up in this proud spirit, we start talking about our own good deeds, our own good things that we've done. I've given to this. And I remember being in contact with people like this. I remember one man years and years and years ago who was a wealthy man. And when you talked to him, he would tell you what all he was doing, where all his money was going. He was giving to this program, and he was giving to that program, and he was doing the other thing. But at the same time, he was living a life of adultery. Was not faithful to his spouse. Was a man who was very corrupt otherwise. It came out in his speech. And yet he was lifting himself up by the good deeds that he'd done. Well, that's exactly what this publican was doing, or this Pharisee was doing. Well, let's read on. In verse 13 it says, "And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote himself on his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner." His attitude was exactly the opposite. He was a man who felt unworthy of the things that God had done for him, and his heart was right towards God. And he responded in a right way. Hypocrisy. Emphasizes our good deeds, tells others how good we've been, and at the same time, we try to expose and try to put other people down. Well, in Matthew chapter 7, turn with me back to Matthew chapter 7. Here Jesus gives us a recipe of what to do about this. Matthew chapter 7. In verse 1. Jesus says this. He says, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye?" Why do we do that? Why do we judge our brethren and don't consider ourselves? When we do this, dear friends, it's a form of hypocrisy. It's coming right back to the roots of hypocrisy. It's because we think more of ourselves and our own reputation. In verse 4 he says, "Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, we have a beam in our own eye." What Jesus is saying is that when we do this, we're worse than our brother. When we put them down and we point at their faults and we say, "Yeah, but look at the mistakes they make in life, and look where they are, and the way they live, and the relationships they have." And Jesus said, when you say these things, when you think these things, or you even voice these things, you whisper these things in the closet, you meditate on these things, it's going to be exposed. It will come out. Verse 5, he says, "Thou hypocrite." You become a hypocrite when you do this. "First cast out the beam of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye." Jesus is saying, take care of the problems at home. Take care of your own heart's needs. Take care of the things in your own life that you know are out of order. And when you have taken care of things at home and all is well and the relationship between you and I is well, then I will help you see clearly to help other people. And until then, we're not fit to help other people. We're not ready to help other people. Until our own hearts are cleansed and we're free of this thing of the leaven of hypocrisy in our own lives, we really cannot help others and reach out to others like we should. the fourth thing I'd like to talk about this morning is the fact that the hypocrisy of the Pharisees kept them carefully following certain religious practices while allowing their hearts to be away from God. This is something that can come very close to us. In fact, the brother's question in the Sunday school discussion this morning was a good question. Why do we have so many forms? Why do we do some of the things we do? And that was a good question, and there is an answer to that question. But we need to be careful that our worship and our Christian experience doesn't just turn into a form and a ritual and a way of doing things, because that's what happened to the scribes and the Pharisees. Their forms turned into a very important thing for them, while their hearts remained distant from truly being in connection with God. And this can happen to us today. In fact, I thought about the admonition that Paul gave to the church, at the Colossian church. Paul says he gave a warning against any philosophy. Well, let's just go back to Colossians chapter 2 and read verse 8, I believe it is. Colossians 2 and verse 8, Paul said this. He said, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." What was Paul warning about here? Paul was simply saying, he was giving us a warning against anything that was based, in a nutshell, I'll say, anything that was based on human ideas and experience and left God out of the picture, is what he was saying. And we need to be very careful with that. Today we live in a world where the world is promoting a lot of humanistic ideas. They come in every shape and form. A philosophy that is based on human ideas. A philosophy that is based on what they think they have experienced. The teachings all around us. The pressure is all around us. And God is saying, beware lest any man spoil you through this philosophy, through this vain deceit, and not after the things of Christ, is what he's saying. He was condemning teaching that credits humanity, not Christ, for the answers to the problems of life, to the questions of life. That sounds like the world we live in, doesn't it? There's so much of that all around us. And you know what? If we get taken up in that, we get taken up into a false teaching that brings about a false religion. We need to be so careful. We need to bring everything back to the Bible and say, well, what does God say about this? What direction does the Bible give us in these human reasonings that are before our eyes so much? And be careful that we don't get spoiled through this philosophy and end up having a false religion, as it were, a false hope, because that ends up being a form of hypocrisy as well, makes hypocrites out of us. God can see through that heart. Number five, and the last point I'm going to make in this subject this morning, is that I want to think about the failure of hypocrisy. What is the failure of hypocrisy? Well, the failure simply is that hypocrisy lets you down when you need it the most. You know what? When we get wrapped up in living a life of a hypocrite and we start building on keeping a good reputation, and we build on that, and we build on that, and we do things that we never thought we'd do, and it just feeds on. It's a progression of things is what it is. Someday, God pulls the covers back. Someday the cover comes off, and it's exposed. And so many times when we need hypocrisy the most, when we think we need it the most to cover us and keep our reputation, somewhere in there is oftentimes when God strips it. If he doesn't do it in this life, it will be in the future. But the cover will come off and hypocrisy will let us down. Either it'll be a big embarrassment here in this life sometime, or sometime in the future, God will need to say, "Depart, I never knew you." And everybody else that thought that you were who you wanted them to think you are will also see that you really weren't that person. And so the failure of hypocrisy is that it's going to let us down when we need it the most. There will be no secrets. How embarrassing do you think it was for Joseph's brothers at the end of their father's life? We know the story. Their father passed away, and the day came when Joseph's brothers were sitting in front of Joseph, who was now the ruler, the man in charge, the man that had the authority to do what he wanted to do. And that story tells us that they sat there and they feared. They feared Joseph. They said, "You know what? Our father passed away. He's not here to protect us anymore. What if Joseph now decides to take revenge on us?" They were a fearful group, and I believe they were an embarrassed group. But Joseph was a man of God's heart. He was a man of integrity. He was a man that had, God had been good to him because he had a right heart. He had walked with God, and he forgave his brothers, and he extended his love and compassion to them, and he provided for them the things that they now needed at this point and juncture in their life after they had treated him like this. In closing this morning, I want you to just to turn back to our text, Luke chapter 12. And I want to read verse 2 and verse 3 again. "For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known." Dear friends, this morning, there's nothing that you're hiding that's not going to be brought out in the open. Whatsoever you speak in the darkness, whatsoever you whisper at home in the closets, I think we can say that whatever we think that's not right, whatever we dwell on in our hearts, the attitudes, the thoughts that we have that we know aren't right, God is someday going to reveal them. They're going to be brought out. It's a part of what is spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which has been spoken in the ear in the closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Friends, this morning, the sin of hypocrisy is a serious thing. It is sin. We cannot try to make it something else. And so if you find yourself living a life of a hypocrite this morning, if there's anything that you're hiding, that you're covering up, I plead with you. Bring it out. Talk to whoever you need to. Confess to your family. Confess to your wife, your spouse, your husband, whatever it is. Take care of it. Most of all, tell God, I've been living the life of a hypocrite, and you know my heart. Take care of it, because the day will come when it will be an embarrassing experience. Judgment will fall. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Let's kneel for prayer.